Holy Spirit, take my words and speak to each of us according to our need. Amen. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. This has been a busy week for me. I moved from Manhattan to Larchmont on Monday, and I've packed and unpacked what feels like millions of boxes, when in reality it's only what we've amassed after under 3 years in a small one-bedroom apartment. Now, maybe some of you enjoy the process of moving, and if that's the case, by all means, let me in on your secret, because I decidedly do not care for it. It's funny, because I almost always move for positive reasons, going to college or grad school or seminary, getting married, starting a job at an amazing church in Larchmont, New York, but the moving itself, I could do without. We had movers this time, which was amazing because it meant I didn't have to carry a single box down the 63 steps to our fourth floor apartment at the seminary. But even with that literal load taken off, I don't like how unsettled I feel when all my things are in boxes. And then when I arrive and begin to unpack, I want everything to immediately fall perfectly into place. But it's never quite that easy. I'm still trying to figure out which things go in which closets, still getting furniture arranged in just the right ways, still figuring out the quirks of a new living space, and probably will be for a while yet. I'm going through something of the same process here at St. John's, settling into my office, figuring out how my days and weeks will be structured, and getting used to the customs and habits of the service, the flavor of the Episcopal Church that is specifically St. John's. I'd like to be immediately perfect as your new curate, but I'll let you in on something. I'm not going to be. Along these lines, I think the first sermon in a new place is always a little nerve-wracking for everyone involved. I'm still getting to know you, you're still getting to know me, Father Joe is still field testing the new hire. Fortunately, I feel like today's readings let us all breathe a sigh of relief. Between Paul and Jesus, the bottom line here is that I'm not perfect and you're not perfect, but that's okay, because we're still on this journey to build God's kingdom together. Paul says, I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. And who can't relate to that? It's tempting to try to project a facade of perfection, but surely any one of us can think of a time when we didn't live up to our own ideals, and plenty of times when others didn't live up to our own ideals, too. This isn't a matter of weakness of will. A little extra willpower won't make us perfect or good, and it certainly won't save us. It's seductive, the idea that mastering all our responsibilities and achieving outward perfection can somehow make us perfect and whole, but it's a beautiful lie. An attractive home, a loving family, all the right schools and investments and hobbies, even giving to all the right charities or working on outreach or, hey, getting ordained and working in ministry full time. None of those things has any power to make us whole, to bring us from the way of death into life, to turn us into the kind of people who do what we long to do and don't do the things that ultimately leave us feeling empty. We don't earn abundant life by trying a little harder, bootstrapping our way to salvation. Any attempt to do so only leads to exhaustion. It's too heavy a burden to bear. No, we receive abundant life through Jesus, if only we're willing to open our hands and accept the gift. That's what today's gospel is about, an invitation to accept the abundant life that Jesus offers. An invitation to lay down the burdens we are lugging around with us and rest in Jesus. What a wonderful, comforting thing to hear. It's okay. I know what you're carrying, and you don't have to bear that weight anymore. Lay it down. Let it go. Stay here with me and catch your breath. Lay your head down and close your eyes. Everything will be all right. But Jesus' message doesn't end here. His invitation to rest comes hand in hand with an invitation to work. And for this, we turn to an agrarian image. I'll confess up front that I have zero intimate knowledge of how to use yoked oxen to plow a field. While I come from generations of farmers, I struggle to keep houseplants alive for more than a month or two. And even most of the working farmers I know have largely replaced animal labor with machinery. Somehow, though, I think we can still grasp Jesus' image on an intuitive level. We know what a yoke is, the cross piece that attaches a pair of animals to a plow or cart, and we know its purpose, preparing fields for crops or enabling transportation. So when we hear Jesus talk about a yoke, it sounds like a paradox. A yoke is a solid piece of wood used to drive animals. When I think of rest, I think of reading a book by the pool, not helping Jesus plow a field. What's easy and light about that? I think it helps to take a quick look back at the Greek. Krestos, the word translated as easy, typically means useful, good, or kind, and it also carries the sense of something that is well-fitted, tailor-made. Elaphros, light, also means easy to bear, or not a burden. So we have Jesus saying, "My yoke is a perfect fit for you, good and useful for your work, and my burden is not burdensome at all." It's unexpected and just a little hard to believe. One way of making sense of it is to extend the metaphor of the yoke a bit further. While reflecting on the image this week, I learned a little about how oxen are trained to pull a yoke. A big, strong ox is paired with a calf. It's an unlikely duo, an illustration of the term unequally yoked. And in a pair like this, the team is hooked up in such a way that the calf is not actually pulling the weight of the load, but simply getting used to the way the yoke feels. This is what it's like to take on Jesus' yoke and learn from him. It's not about being forced to carry a burden. It's about taking on a new way of living. It's a way of living that is perfectly fitted to each of us, that is kind and good, not onerous and burdensome. We still resist it, though, because it is different, because it seems difficult. We buck and fight and have to be shown the way by others who are more experienced, more mature. It is to this different way of living that Jesus calls us, to take on his yoke, his mantle, and learn to live by his example, to seek the perfect fit of life in Christ, even when doubts and fears and distorted desires and stubborn pride tell us to cast off the yoke and flee, to lean into this resistance and stay, because the rewards will ultimately far outweigh the discomforts. This life to which we're called is not a life of ease. It's not a reading by the pool every day kind of restfulness. But neither is it a life of heavy-laden weariness. It is a life of meaning and richness, a life that really is life. And what greater rest for the soul is there than to live in such a way that each day is rich with meaning and purpose, and the work of living creates rather than depletes energy? This brings to mind that famous quote of Howard Thurman, "Don't ask what the world needs, ask what makes you come alive and go do it." Because what the world needs is people who have come alive. Jesus doesn't need people who are trudging through life half asleep, people who live in constant fear that the life they are building will fall down around them with one wrong move, or who, to escape that crippling fear, have numbed themselves into a stupor. Jesus needs people who have come alive. Jesus calls us to live into a new vision of who we are, women and men called to be the hands and feet and eyes of God on earth, to serve Christ in all, to strive for justice and peace, and to recognize that we don't do any of it by our own power. Nothing we do can make us whole. Trying harder won't save us. We will always fall short of our ideals and God's. But when we recognize this, we can embrace the reality that God knows us fully, more fully than we would probably like to admit, and still loves us more deeply than we can imagine. And in this all-encompassing love, we are empowered to learn to love as God loves, and in so doing, to change the world. Amen.